Hello and welcome to the 2018 Fremantle Press podcast series. My name is Claire Miller and I'm here with Zoe DeLul, who is one of six writers shortlisted for the 2018 City of Fremantle TAG Hungerford Award. Zoe is in the running to receive a $12,000 cash prize from the City of Fremantle and a publishing contract with Fremantle Press. Zoe DeLul, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Zoe, when Georgia Richter and I rang you to let you know you'd been shortlisted, Georgia mentioned that she felt your manuscript had a very gothic vibe. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I do actually. It begins with the main character, Jane, recovering from the traumatic birth of her first child, and her partner's cousin, Rachel, comes to stay with them at their apartment, and Jane finds her incredibly threatening. But, of course, she's also very sleep-deprived and unsure of herself, so she doesn't know if she's imagining this threat or if it's real. So I suppose the elements of gothic fiction are there in that it's very intense emotion and there's this feeling of terror and also this bleak setting in winter in East London. So when Georgia said to me it's a very gothic novel, it made complete sense to me, although it hadn't been my intention at all when I'd been writing it.
And is this something you've been working on for years?
No, not at all. I did have a few notes and ideas floating around, but I only really started writing in earnest about 3 months before the deadline. I spent a weekend up at the Catherine Susanna Pritchard Writer Centre in Perth just to get the word count up. And I was writing it right up until about a quarter to 12 on the night that the competition closed.
So tell us more about Rachel. She's a very strange woman who appears out of nowhere. Who's she based on and what made you write this particular story?
Well, I kind of knew I wanted to write a book about the transition from being this kind of carefree adult who feels completely safe in the world to this exhausted parent who sees danger in everything. But I knew the story needed something more than just that situation. So I decided to introduce this very intrusive house guest into my story who kind of embodies all the fears of a new mother. And it just kind of took off from there. And she was also inspired by lots of stories that I've read on parenting talk boards, which are a great source of anecdotes because they're anonymous, so people are just brutally honest. But in the extract I'm just about to read, when Rachel strokes the baby's head, one of my neighbours at the time did that, and I found it very disturbing. So I thought, oh great, I'll have to use that.
So you've just mentioned that you've prepared a reading for us, which I believe is going to give us a taste of what it would be like to live with Rachel.
So this reading is called Day 4. Day 4, I bathed the baby. It was getting a little easier now, keeping his slowly uncurling, slippery body supported in the water. My hands were becoming accustomed to the movements of his body, the weight of him. I dressed him in a newborn nappy, then a white bodysuit, and finally the cardigan Rachel had knitted him and given to me at the hospital, a tiny mustard yellow thing of tightly packed wool as if each stitch was pulled very hard. He looked compressed in it, densely packed like armour against the cold. I couldn't see him beyond his little body. It had all vanished. Last night, we finally gave up on the bassinet around 1 a.m. He hated it, didn't want to sleep on his own, and I wanted him closer to me too. So by the early hours of the morning, he was in bed with me. I woke on my side, curled around him, one arm below his wrapped legs, the other supporting my head and circling his. My arm was stiff from being still for hours in the cold night air. I got up, leaving the baby as quietly as I could, my head aching from broken sleep, and just as I was about to have a shower, the doorbell rang. It was Rachel. She was wearing a smoky layer of makeup on her eyes, with some kind of glitter mixed in, and a green silk dress under a beautiful gold coat, the kind of clothes I would love to own, that I would have loved wearing before I had a baby. Beside her was a leather suitcase, old but expensive looking. I was still heavy from the pregnancy and wearing billowy clothes that enabled me to breastfeed. I care, but I don't care. She avoided my eyes as she said hello, looking beyond me into the apartment. Before I could even say anything or invite her in, she was inside, heading for the lounge room as if she'd been here before and knew the apartment well. How are you getting along? Not too bad. Can I have the baby? Is that a weird question? I'm finding it hard to have even the simplest conversations without getting confused. But I know one thing, the baby is still and peaceful in my bed and she can't disturb that. He's sleeping at the moment. Oh, I meant, can I just look at him? She's walking away from me down the long corridor to our bedroom, and I found myself following her silently as she opened the door and stepped into the dark mess of our clothes, our unmade bed, the intimate smell of our shared sleep, and in the squalid lamplight, because I haven't opened the blinds yet, the shameful sight of our pink flannel sheet stained with milk. But she didn't seem to register my embarrassment as she sat down on the bed, still wearing the coat she would have travelled here in, sitting on a filthy, stained tube seat. She leaned close to and started stroking his head right at the fontanelle where I knew there was no bone, protecting the brain, just a layer of skin. I only touched it myself once, but she stroked it again and again, and I had to bunch my hands into fists to stop myself from clobbering her. "Oh my God, he's so beautiful. I'm sorry, I just have to pick him up." He startled in his sleep, the falling from a tree Moro reflex that the baby books tell me he will eventually lose, and I had to fight down an urge to take him from her. She's Paul's cousin, related to him by blood. It's only normal that she would want to hold him. I have to get used to sharing him, I tell myself. I'm being precious and possibly unhinged. As he woke and started to writhe in her arms, clearly unhappy, I wanted to ask for him back, but forced myself to wait for her to offer. I always used to hand babies back when they got restless. There was nothing worse than holding someone else's crying baby. Yet she seemed oblivious. She held him up, laughed at his little cries, put him over her shoulder, and patted his back in a way I already knew he hated.
Oh, thank you so much for that wonderful reading. That was Zoe Delul reading from her City of Fremantle TAG Hungerford shortlisted manuscript, She Came to Stay. Zoe will join us at Fremantle Arts Centre on Thursday the 15th of November when the Mayor of Fremantle announces the winner. To book your tickets, keep an eye on our website, fremantlepress.com.au. Zoe, thank you for sharing your story with us today, and we look forward to seeing you on the 15th.
Thank you.